harder and harder to do this show on Mondays. I think the longer this virus shit goes on, there's not a lot of media news, and what little news is out there. A lot of it's depressing, you know, whether it's stuff being moved, movies or whatever, what's the phrase I was looking for?
Postpone.
Cancel culture and things like that.
Oh yeah.
Like everything's like fucking negative. Gaming is like the only thing that seems to still get like positive news out there, which is, I guess it makes plenty of sense. You would think comics would still have like a lot of things that you could do from home. So like, I know you can take workstations home and dev kits home to work on games. I know you can write anything from home. Like I said, comics or books, novels, and even comics with drawing, and then animation. I bet there's a lot of stuff with animation that can be done from home, 2D or CGI. But yeah, I don't know. Just kind of like a blah Monday. How you doing? Haven't talked to you in a while.
yeah, I know what you mean, man. Last week was one of the first, I was real busy actually, but it was one of the first weeks where there were days where I didn't check anything online. Like I made, you know what I mean? Cause there hadn't been nothing like one day. So I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to look. And that just never happens where I, you know, I don't check LRM or I don't check the news or even the weather, you know, I'm always checking something. And yeah, there were a couple days where I don't know. It's like you said, what news I do see is usually something I didn't want to see. And so, yeah.
And you, especially not having a smartphone, you have to really put an effort to look things up. So,
but you know, it's part of my typical daily ritual. You know, checking the world, and I don't know. There are a couple of days I just didn't do it.
Yeah, no, I get it. Fucking get the intro out of the way. Good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to LR Mornings. And yes, he's back. You're with Kyle and
Brian.
And I've got some things that I've got to do today, so Jammer couldn't be a part of it. So to accommodate my schedule, so Brian's here. Yay! Welcome back, Brian.
Yeah,
it's been a week without you. Saturday was Spider-Man Day. I found that out on Twitter, like going like late into the afternoon noon, and a lot of people posting their favorite arcs or pages from Spider-Man comics, things about the movies or whatever. And I posted a page from Amazing 542. I think it's one of the Back in Black issues with Straczynski, and it's the page where Parker's in the black suit. It's not the symbiote, for those of you that have not read the story. He just, something bad happens and he wants it for like imagery basically, and he takes that. You know, he says, "I'm not here to kill you," wearing the mask, and he takes it off and takes the top off and says, "I am." And you and I know who he's talking to, and it's just like this awesome, very powerful, badass page with just a few words on it. And but I remember the first time reading that, like getting chills, like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah.
Do you have a well-liked issue or story or page that you could think of off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head. You know, I remember I'm going to talk about the animated series in the 90s. I remember
that's
when
fine.
When
that's all that's Spider-Man 2.
Morbius and came in. And I was always into vampires and horror and stuff like that. And I remember how excited I was and going to school and being like, "Oh shit, did you see that?" And I know how you feel about the current state of Sony's plans, but
yeah,
take that out of the equation, and that was like a big deal. And Blade, you know, came on the cartoon. It was a lot of cool stuff.
They did a lot of really awesome things with that 90s cartoon, and they can't seem to replicate it. I know there's people that like some of the cartoons done from Disney, and others that don't. But I can't find any of the reverence that people have for that 90s cartoon.
Were you a Clone Saga fan? Because that was a very divisive topic at one point in our youth. There were those who hated it, those who liked it.
You talking like comics or the show?
The comics.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because the show really kind of does a different take on that. I'm a huge fan of the Scarlet Spider suit, so I kind of like Ben Reilly. I liked the idea of the ending idea of him like going off to be his own Spider-Man. I kind of like that. I didn't have any major issues with the arc overall. No, why did you?
No, I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was unpredictable, and. Yeah, I remember being blown away by it, but I do remember there were those who were not happy about it, at least amongst my circle. And that was one of those early days, you know, geek fights. You know, I remember that, you know, that of, yeah, this is good, no, it's not, and, you know, arguing about it. But yeah, that sticks out in my mind as one of those early debates amongst, you know, fandom. Pre-fandom era, you know, when that wasn't really a thing.
Really such a thing. Yeah. Like, I don't remember before anymore, Brian, tell me what was it like during the good days?
Yeah.
Before the darkness, before the empire of mouse. or Sony, for that matter. Fuck, Sony. I haven't said that in a while, so yay. You got it back out. No, actually, I did say something about Sony. Some people were talking about their favorite suits from the movies, and all these goddamn assholes and their fucking obsession with Amazing Spider-Man 2 because of the eyes. The eyes that move in Civil War and Homecoming and going forward, fucking Infinity War, Endgame, like all those eyes are fucking Spider-Man eyes, because it's just like in the fucking comics, his eyes are expressive, and the fucking you can tell Sony doesn't fucking get costumes or anything from everything that they did in the Raimi films. They don't get costumes in the web films, and the fact that at one point with Civil War, they wanted to use a raised webbing suit again. That's why it's all CGI'd later. Why?
I'm gonna cut them
webbing. I hate that.
I'm gonna cut them a little slack for those first couple Spider-Man movies. With one exception, and that would it's the early days. You know, they're still figuring out, you know, how to. Yes, there had been comic book movies for decades, but in a big budget sense, and you know, trying to, you know, have sequels and do all that.
Yeah,
but the one mistake they made was the Goblin's mask, and it's just bad. And even to this day,
go Power Rangers.
Yes, it doesn't work, and I can't imagine them not seeing it in real time and not realizing this just isn't working. And so that's always one thing that bugs the shit out of me going back and looking at those movies, because the performance is amazing. It's the
foe's awesome. Yes. For what the cheesiness that is that that era and that, yes, that style. Yeah.
But that damn helmet, it's just bad. And yeah, that always bugs the hell out of me every time I see it.
I mean, I hate the raised webbing. Like, they just kept using it and going forward again and again and again and again. That was one of the things that they didn't do with the Raimi films. Like, he's got his sweatsuit outfit, and then he's got the Spider-Man outfit, and then it doesn't change until the symbiote, and then he goes right back to regular. Like, one of the things about Spider-Man, what's so great about showing him off is he is creative, and he does make suits, and he does have suits for different things. You know, he's got a suit to, he's a lot like Tony in the MCU. Use Iron Man 3. You know, there was like, he was designing a suit for everything. Spidey actually did that in the comics. He had a suit for Electro, a suit for Shocker, a suit for dealing with he had armored suits. So that's just one of the coolest things about the PlayStation 4 game, is getting to see and getting to wear all those different suits, even though I spend most of my time in the Scarlet Spider suit. The OG Scarlet Spider, not that weird red and black thing from the one of the recent cartoon tunes. Do you have an opinion on raised webbing? Did I ask you that?
not as strong as you. It doesn't, I mean, whatever.
I said the further Spidey's away from Sony, the better. And there's this guy that... follows me on Twitter. I follow him, a follower, whatever. I don't fucking know goddamn social media terminology. I swear to God, he's a troll. I think it's Jammer in disguise, trolling me with like how much they like Venom and how much they like Sony movies better than the MCU films. And I'm just like, there's nobody in their right mind. Like, I understand if you were 8 years old and your dad took you, or mom took you to see Amazing Spider-Man in theaters. Great, you've got some nostalgia there. I can get that, but trying to say objectively it's good is like trying to say objectively George Lucas wrote great dialogue in the prequels.
Yeah. yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
you know, I've been very, very happy with Spider-Man and the MCU, and I'm so scared of what Sony's doing, because they're just gonna fuck it up. They fuck everything they touch up. For those of you that. Don't follow as close. Remember, remember when DC was green lighting. Doesn't mean a movie's going to actually make it to the big screen. It just means that, yes, we're putting a team on it, basically, right?
Yeah.
Dozens of movies. There was the fucking Suicide Squad spinoffs themselves, a Joker movie, a Harley movie, a Harley and Joker movie, a Suicide Squad sequel, the Birds of Prey,
Green Lantern Corps,
Gotham City, Sirens, Green Lantern, fucking yeah, Flash,
Cyborg.
Yeah. We're getting solo films. Yeah. Like all this shit was greenlit. So Sony did the same thing with their villains from Spider-Man before the Disney deals. The original Disney deal expired and the new one was reached. They were like greenlighting, you know, the Silver Sable and Black Cat film, and then they're like, oh, they'll be separate films, and then they went ahead and did, of course, Venom. They greenlit Morbius, which has a trailer out. They talked about Madam What, like all these really bad fucking ideas, and then they got the ability to use some MCU shit, and I have no faith. I just don't. And like I said before, if the price to keep Spidey in the MCU is that Feige has to figure out how to work in some of the Sony stuff, so be it. But I just, at this point, and considering it's been so long since I've seen something new from the MCU and all the unknowns, for me, you know, Endgame is the end of the MCU. Yeah, Far From Home happens afterwards. It's like a prologue or epilogue, right? Which one comes after? I don't remember.
It's a prologue? Oh, you got me confused. Yeah, now I'm all fucked up. Hold on. God
damn it. I think...
the prologue is before... What? No.
Let me see. Prologue, separate introductory section. So, yeah, it would be an epilogue. Epilogue. Yeah. So, I like Far From Home as an epilogue to section or speech at the end of a book play that serves as a comment on or a conclusion to what has happened, a final or concluding act or event. And considering this is Peter separating from Tony, this is like the last finger Tony Stark has in the Avengers is with Peter, and so Parker making that suit his own on the plane with Happy, I think, yeah, I'd look at it as a fine epilogue. It just makes Endgame a 5-hour film instead of 3-hour film. But yeah, you and I have said before we're fine if the MCU doesn't maintain the quality or falls apart. We have 23 amazing movies, right?
I don't know about 23. There's a couple.
Okay, we have a solid 23 movies story.
Yes.
That I'll has give you that. A few hiccups.
Correct. I'll stand by that.
Yes, statement. Thor 2 is not amazing.
I'm thinking of the Captain America.
Yeah.
The first Avenger.
It's just like Evans did a great job in that film, but it was just fucking Disney.
Yeah,
it was them being scared of the source material, and also it was the early days of the MCU.
True.
So you know, got to cut them some slack.
And Sony,
like, we cut slack for Sony for Spider-Man 1 and 2, but
I still don't understand what they're doing. Like you said, I really, you know, it's funny. I mean, you get more, you know, invested in the argument and frustration than I do. But in all reality, sitting back and, you know, trying to remove myself from even thinking about, as a fan of comic movies or, you know, genre films, whatever, what the hell are they doing? Like, I'm looking at Morbius and I'm like, where does that go? As someone who earlier stated I was excited about Morbius in the cartoon, I like vampires. I think that's cool. Where does this... Is there a vampire thing that we're going to be doing now, Sony? Like, is that a part of the Spider-Verse now? Is it going to be a whole vampire subgenre happening? Or, like, what is the point? Is my question. You know, I don't think he holds up to what I call the tattoo test. Like, you want to do a Venom movie, Google Venom tattoos. You're going to see a shit ton of people with Venom tattoos. Okay, it's got an audience. I don't see Morbius with a whole
lot. I've never heard you call the tattoo test. Yeah, I've never heard you bring that up in 20 years of friendship. Hey,
if enough people have the tattoo, then it's established enough to make a thing. If not, then you got to build it, you know? Google Madam Web tattoos. I seriously doubt you're going to find more than maybe one, and I'm being generous. Yeah,
I just Googled Morbius tattoos, and there's one.
Hey, there you go. You have to build that brand.
Just one. And it's from the looks like from the animated show. That's an all right looking tattoo as far as tattoos go. I'll be surprised if there is a Madam Web. Let's see. Madam Web tattoos.
Most
No. There's some webbing and spider tattoos.
There you go.
That's it.
If people aren't willing to put it a property on their body, then they're, you know, I'm just saying it doesn't, in other words, that's proof it doesn't have that built-in audience. You have to build an audience. So you need to, if you're going to do Morbius, fine, but you probably need to introduce him in something that didn't cost $100+ million and build him up, and, you know, then you'll be okay. With Deadpool, that we knew that was going to be a hit. You had the right actor. Deadpool has a fan base, has a fandom. Type Deadpool tattoos, and I bet you even pre-films you'll find a shit ton of them. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's been a fan favorite since he was introduced, just because I guarantee that's why Wolverine Origins had such a big start. Was people excited to see Deadpool before they realized the fuck they sewed his mouth shut? He's Baraka now.
Yeah.
His knives come out of his fucking hands.
He literally was Baraka, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't even. Yeah, that's a whole other.
Fuck. That's another fuck Fox. Yeah. You still haven't seen the train wreck, no pun intended, since the movie ends with a train wreck of Dark Phoenix yet, have you?
No, I have not. I have not.
Yeah, don't. I'll save it for you.
Yeah, did I can't remember. You watched it, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, for an unreleased LRM ranks it that never came out. Talking about all the X-Men movies, Dark Phoenix was low, very, 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 very low.
Was there anything in it at all that you were like, oh,
no. Not a single moment. Since First Class, the staple for those films, the 60s 70s 80s 90s, the four sequel series or prequel series or whatever you want to call it, was always a Quicksilver scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do something cool with Quicksilver for rescuing people, because he runs really, fast. Really, really fast. Yeah. Even his scene this time was just, it felt like, oh, we have to do one of these, you know?
They were melding it in.
it was really, really shoehorned it in. It wasn't like organic Days of Future Past?
Yeah.
Is the first one. Mm-hmm. I think.
And then Apocalypse. Yeah.
And then Apocalypse. Yeah. The one where he's running around the schoolhouse was like, I thought that was more fun than the prison escape with Magneto. But still, this last one was garbage. I don't know what Marvel plans on doing with the X-Men, but I still say is to stay the fuck away from AVX and build up your Charles and your Magneto, and let's do Onslaught.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. Let's let that be the big X-Men crossover or X-Men event film. Let's do Onslaught, because you'll never be able to do Dark Phoenix again. You fucking blew it twice, so you'll never be able to do it again. Do you think MCU Spidey could ever use Green Goblin after kind of, you know, fucking it up this last time? And
I think
in Amazing Spider-Man 2,
if they took the time and actually, I think aesthetically, if they did it properly, I think we could forgive. So I don't know. They don't need to go that route, because there are plenty of villains left, so they could wait a while. I agree, though. AVX, I would be so bummed out if they announced that.
Yeah,
I would not. I'm a little irritated. I mean, it's even Secret Invasion, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I just don't care. I would be more, and I didn't even care for the storyline, but I'd be more interested in Dark Reign than either of those.
Dark Reign was that the one where people were getting like
it's like the bad guys were in charge.
Okay, yeah, I remember with the with Norman mm-hmm. wearing the Iron Patriot suit. Yeah, that's right. I was trying to think of the one where people. It was kind of like the apocalypse story from X-Men, but instead it was dealing with the Avengers and or dealing with all of Marvel, and there was something running around and people were getting these like black armored suits with like blue lights or yellow lighting. Like I can't fucking remember what story it was. I can't fucking remember. And it wasn't Dark Reign. I thought it was Dark something. It was like early 2010s, I think. It was really bad. God, when was the last Marvel good crossover event in the books?
The last Secret Wars was okay. It started strong and it sort of whimpered out. Yeah, I agreed. They pulled the punch and so that is my gripe with that. But as far as the build to that and the first part of it, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the homage to the original Secret War with Doom
mm-hmm. being exactly
so powerful and stuff like that. Yeah. I get it.
I can get it. Yeah, I'm looking at some Dark Reign stuff. Yeah, I thought it was okay. But like you said, it's really heavily on Norman. Yeah. Which they could do. I don't know if they'd...
They could. Thunderbolts is still a real possibility, which, you know... would you rather see Thunderbolts a movie or a series? I'd rather it's a series.
You could do more with a series. Agreed. Now, the series could lead to a film storyline, but I definitely think a series would give you the time to flesh out the characters and establish them properly. So,
well, let's hope they start that route with Zemo and then
yes.
And I still would love for them to bring Killmonger back.
Yep.
That T'Challa, you know, froze him. Or something like that, like he did Bucky. And then, yeah, of course, Norman Ross. That She-Hulk rumors are not... I don't even remember if it was confirmed or not, but the Red... That they're doing Red Hulk stuff. I can't imagine... God, what is the actor's name? Ross MCU
I just know him as the detective in Dark.
What is Dark City? William Hurt. Yeah. There we go. It's hard to see William Hurt as doing mocap for Red Hulk.
Yeah.
They would only really need his face, so you wouldn't have to have Old Man Hurt run. That's a good nickname, Old Man Hurt. You wouldn't need to have William Hurt himself running around doing the mocap. He would just do the facial mocap and could do that. That's another thing. I did not know how actually loved Red Hulk is in the comics. Like people actually,
it has its fans. Book, yeah, it has its fans. It was a period where, for a moment, the idea was let's just make really dumb, almost an homage to some of the '90s stuff, where it's like the plot doesn't matter. It's just big giant shit fighting at each other. Yeah. And I can appreciate that a little bit, but. I just didn't. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was too. I didn't care for it. I didn't care. I didn't like any of the characters involved, A-Bomb or any of that stuff. I thought literally it was just big ass characters fighting each other. And I mean, but I don't know. If the MCU wants to go in that direction, sure. We'll see.
Well, we'll see what actually ends up on screen in any in any fashion. Things are changing constantly, and this the COVID virus pushing the schedule to the right, and messing with the shows and how much tie-in tissue the shows we're going to have into phase four movies, like all of that. I'm interested. God, I get so hard to get thoughts out sometimes. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I would love to see what has changed from phase four planning pre-endgame to phase four planning today. As much as I would love to see those phase three plans back when, you know, before the Inhumans bombed on the small screen so badly, like, I know the Inhumans became the Eternals. I know that for a fact. that's 100% what happened. I'll even bet some sets and costumes that were designed directly carried over from Inhumans to Eternals.
What do you think about how great we praise him all the time, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep doing it. How great Kevin Feige is that Inhumans, and it wasn't his fault. I'm not going to go into all
that. No, that was Loeb's fault.
But how good Kevin Feige is that the Inhumans was as big of a failure as it was. This was going to be a major piece of everything going forward. Mm-hmm. And it failed so miserably, and yet nobody remembers it. He did such a good job of sweeping it away as if it never was. You never hear anyone really ever talk about it. It just doesn't come up. Yeah, like Kevin Feige is just really good. Even when something fails, he's able to, like you said, I think he just took all his plans and shifted it to the Eternals. But yeah, he knows what he's doing.
There was an interview with Chris Evans. I don't remember. Maybe it's a couple years old, because I think it was around Endgame. And I have to paraphrase because I can't quote it. I don't have it up on screen. I read it somewhere this past weekend. He was talking about, you know, like the common factor in the MCU is Feige. Mm-hmm. That the whole thing does not work without him. He goes, you know, you can look at other people, and of course he's meaning DC. He goes, that aren't doing so well, and Marvel's turned out quality film after quality film. He says something like, you know, maybe you could say if there was a few good ones and then a few bad ones and it kind of fizzled out, you could, you know, say all these things. But he goes, that's not the way it is. Here we are at Endgame, and there's one thread through it all, and that's Feige. And have there been hiccups in the MCU? Yeah, of course. But again, why can't other companies find their Feige? Is he just... Is it the same thing as Ghostbusters was? Is the MCU one giant lightning in a bottle?
Think
to where it can't be done. This, it can't be replicated. It can never happen again.
This probably, but this is what frustrates me as a DC fan. And I've said this before on here. DC did this in the animated universe in the 90s. They had the DC animated universe, all the cartoons all interconnected. They, you know, you had Superman, Batman Beyond, Justice League Unlimited, and they all interconnected. And they had their guy, Bruce Timm, ran it. He was the guy. He was, you know, that visionary, and he was the Kevin Feige of all of the animated universe. In other words, they had the model existed for how to do this. And they had it, and they did it, and they, for whatever reason, couldn't do it in film. Couldn't do it. And I would love to have a conversation with Kevin Feige if he looked at that in any way, if there was anything that inspired him from how they ran those cartoons. Mm-hmm. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, I don't know, but I would love to have that conversation with him. Because, yeah, all those cartoons ran into each other. There were the theatrical film. You had, you know, Mask of the Phantasm. And they were all interconnected and told overarching stories. You know, there were storylines in Batman Beyond that tied all the way back to the early episodes of, you know, the Batman, the animated series. And like I said, Justice League Unlimited would have storylines that would tie way back to older Justice League cartoons. You would have villains that would pop up that you hadn't seen in years in one cartoon that was, you know, in another cartoon. They did all that. And, but no, they absolutely could not. And like I said, they had their guy, Bruce Timm.
Yeah.
But no, not in film.
Oh, I don't trust people with two first names. Or with a first name as a last name. I don't trust people like that. No, I'm joking. Oh, God. I think we've rambled on long enough. I've said it before. I feel bad for a lot of DC fans.
Or Snyder's going to fix it.
Snyder's going to fix it. It was obvious with their choice in Snyder and what they did with Man of Steel that they literally told him, you see that Dark Knight trilogy? Do that with Superman. Yeah. Just copy that and do it with Superman. All dark, all gritty, and make sure there's a blue filter on every lens that you have. Okay? Got it? Good. Go. Yeah, I feel bad. But there are some DC fans that legitimately enjoy the DC EU. I don't see how you enjoy BVS. I don't see how you enjoy Justice League. I don't see how you enjoy Suicide Squad. Shazam, I like that. I do. You finally saw that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you didn't see it in theater. You didn't see it in theaters, right? Yeah. I did. Alrighty then. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this Monday morning. Be sure to check out the website, lrmonline.com, every single day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and the podcast channel for hundreds and hundreds of hours of content, interviews, fun stuff like this, subscriptions. That's what we need, ladies and gentlemen. So just hit the bell or the subscribe button. And yeah, Brian, you're still doing things on social media, sort of. What are you doing?
You can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos, PULPMYTHOS. That's one word. Perry Mason season finale is next Sunday. We'll be doing that. Lovecraft Country after that. And Kurt Russell-a-thon all August long. Kurt Russell movie reviews.
Jeez, what's up first? Do you want to
see? Soldier.
Okay, very cool. Well, you guys go do that. Subscribe to his channel, too. Find me at ThatComOne on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.